Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo. And tonight we got George Dixon supposedly joining us. We're not sure if he will or not. We haven't heard from him today. And he wasn't at home, so I don't know if he'll be joining us or not tonight. Usually, hopefully something didn't happen. But I thought what we would do to begin the show until George shows they will be, to be on tonight. But until then, what I wanted to do is show you this video. Play this video, a YouTube video of Drunvalo Melchizedek, who inspired George, actually.
A billion years to give.
And we're going to do that right now. It's about 8 minutes long.
We'll tell what it is.
And it's about... Drunvalo Melchizedek is wrote the Flowers of Life workshop, gives the Flowers of Life workshop. And rather strange character, but nevertheless, he's considered quite reputable and fascinating fellow who we're going to listen to tonight.
He's an author.
Yeah, it's hard to explain what he is. He's a mystic and a seer, and unless you've been able to follow anything we've studied the last few months about Melchizedek, it's hard to explain exactly what he is. But if you listen to the next 8 minutes, you'll get an idea of what he's saying, and he's relating this to man and unity consciousness and the coming ascension. And
so let's listen and see what he has to say about this.
The story of Melchizedek is a little harder to take than a little harder to accept, but what he says is fascinating. So, and we will attempt to do that right now.
Over, then that's serious, because you just lost a huge opportunity. And so that it is that what the Hindus are speaking, why it's dangerous, because you could lose your spiritual life for a while. You'll still come back, because God lives in every single one. There's no such thing as...
That's not the one. That's not the one. Hang on, folks. I believe that's...
billion years to get there, and then once we get there,
that's wrong. It's him, but it's not the one that I'm trying to set up here. So bear with me, folks.
That's the same one you have.
The ego takes over, then that's serious, because you just lost a huge opportunity. And so that what the Hindus are speaking, why it's dangerous, because you could lose your spiritual life for a while. You'll still come back, because God lives in every single one. There's no such thing as being lost forever. You can make a detour, but you will always come back. No hell or anything like this. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but the Pope declared that before he died. He actually said it to the world. He said, "We made up this whole dream about the hell, and there isn't any." And he apologized for doing that. It was just to control people. But the brain can create dreams that are not nice, and in a way, it's kind of true at another level. It can control people, but that's in polarity. Polarity is about to dissolve away. We're not going to have access to it. The reason we won't have access to it is because in order for polarity to exist, there has to be an electromagnetic grid around the Earth. And that grid is about to be taken away from the planet. And the only access you will have is to the old way, which is unity, which is what the indigenous people are on, or the new way, which is also a higher level of unity grid, you're going to be in one of those two, because there's not going to be one in the middle. And so once that other grid is dropped, which is soon, we're waiting for all the indigenous people to tell us when this will be. But when that happens, the world is only going to move forward in a positive and beautiful way. Negativity will be a memory. That's about all. I know I'm kind of stepping out there in a way, because I'm predicting things that are pretty outrageous, but my teachers all over the world and the indigenous people I work with, they're all in unison at this moment. They all say, do it, say it, go for it, because this is going to happen. And so I do it. Gaia can do anything, really. And she shows this to many of the people that she feels are okay to show it to. And I've watched her do things. I know she is conscious and she is fully aware of every single last tiny detail on Earth. And she is going to make changes. And what the indigenous people in Canada and the United States feel is that there are going to be many people that leave the Earth. It's not a bad thing. It's just that they are going to, their spirits are going to move into an area, a space, time, and dimension where it is more familiar for them to make the kind of changes we're going to go. In other words, they're going home because they came from there before. But who are left over? And it's not a lot of people, really, as they kind of project to me. It's still hundreds and hundreds of millions of people, but it's not 6.5 billion. And the people that are left over, they link in their hearts. They become one living being. And they actually say that we turn the Earth into a spaceship and we fly it into a new way of being from Melchizedek consciousness. The orbit changes of the planet and it alters the way that we perceive the reality. And we've been changing orbit since 1972. I know there's a lot of concerns by people over rapid change. They're worried that they won't have food and water and all these kinds of things, or they'll be just killed by disasters, etc. But it isn't. That's not what is actually happening. It is a transformation in consciousness, planetary-wise. That is actually everywhere. Not just here, it's everywhere. So the whole universe is going through a transformation. If you really understood it, it's nothing to be afraid of at all. It's just like, finally, we're going to reach a level where the changes are going to happen very rapidly. Magic will fill the air. There's no other way to say it from where we are right now, just pure out-and-out magic. If Mother Earth doesn't want you to leave and to be part of the new place, you couldn't do anything to leave, no matter what you did, because she would make sure that you are not harmed. If you were supposed to go, then you're going to go. And either way, it's a blessing. God lives within every single person, and you can't harm God. And so we're stepping into a way of being that is so alien to our way of thinking for the last 13,000 years. We've been in polarity consciousness for a long time. In polarity consciousness, you're on your own. You have to protect yourself. You have to do everything. It's not about any of those kinds of things. It's just about transformation. Once we get into this transformation and the remembering process clicks in, and we go, oh yeah, I remember now. We have to understand that, like I started to say a little while ago, all of life is one. It's totally interconnected. It supports each other. Just within the galaxy, it's like a living being. There's areas that are the heart, that are the liver, the kidneys. They do functions. They work. We do this for you. And it's a flow of energy. And there's nobody out there trying to kill each other. There's tiny bits of things where they're going through transformation and they don't really understand yet. But 99.9 with about 1,000 nines after it are there. To support each other. We are at this moment surrounded by over 250,000 cultures from space that love us, are rooting for us, care about us, and at the right moment we're going to see them, and we're going to know that the world is not out to get us. It just isn't that way. And we're going to realize that there really is a lot more to life than we ever dreamed of. And it's going to be an amazing revelation. Because the world is so much into fear right now.
Okay.
We'll check and see if George is there.
He's
with us finally, but that was quite interesting what he had to say.
It gets interesting. Yeah, hang on a second. George is with us. Hello, George.
Hello.
Hey,
George, how are you? Fine. Good evening.
Yeah.
We were worried about you there for a minute. We thought maybe you weren't going to be with us, but it's very good to hear your voice.
Well, I'm on the road, to be truthful. I'm down on Long Island again tonight.
You are?
Yes. So
I'm
mobile at this point.
Ah, well, you sound nice and clear.
Well, that's great. That's great. I was listening to who you had on. I'm sorry. I didn't catch the name of the fellow who was just talking.
He had a really weird name, like Drunvalo Melchizedek.
Drunvalo Melchizedek?
Yeah, very weird name. You know the guy.
Yeah.
You heard of him before, right?
Right.
We played it in your honor there, George.
Why, thank you. Thank you.
The only problem with that tape is that they got this damn music. They didn't have it. I didn't notice it before when I first played it. But maybe they added it to it. They put this wacko music in there.
That's okay. It didn't take from what he had to say.
Well, it drowns his voice out, you know.
What he was saying is that there'll be many people leaving the planet, going, and that only a certain number of people will be left.
Yes.
They'll join together and be like one.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of interesting, and.
But see, that plays on the Hopi. Thing, but except for the booster, the aspect you didn't put in.
Yes.
They said that there would be a split, and that those that would those that decide to stay will stay, and those who want to go will go.
Well, and, he didn't say it like that. He said those who are meant to go will go, and those that are meant to stay will stay. Those that belong to this.
Kind of like the same idea.
Well, he said those that belong to this planet. There are many people here who don't belong here.
Oh.
That's what I kind of got from that. I guess I'd have to re-listen to it again.
Well,
what is your sense of what he believes in, George?
Well, those that will want to leave will leave, and those that want to stay will be able to stay. You have to look at the Earth as a giant playground or a fantasy land, and some people are still experiencing that fantasy land, if you'd want to call it that, the three dimensions. And yet they don't want to leave. So, you know, it's basically what you're looking for out of the experience of the consciousness. So, you know, some people want to stay, some people want to go. I, for one, want to get the hell off and experience new realms of consciousness.
Okay.
Plus the three-dimensional strings that draws us here.
Yeah. I guess so. He kept talking about the indigenous people. The indigenous people keep telling, you know, keep saying that this is a unity consciousness, and that's very close to the time. And they told him to go out and talk about it. And so I have to believe that he's playing on partly or fully on the
Hopi
on the Mayan or Hopi or
yeah.
whatever, you know, because he's claiming all the different indigenous
people
yeah. are talking about it,
yeah.
and know that we're nearing the time.
Can you, George, tell a little bit about? Do you know a little bit about his history or anything about him?
About Drumbelow?
Yeah, that you could share with our listeners.
Well, Drumbelow, he devolved, if you'd want to call it that, to come to the solar system.
Sounds better coming from you, George. Because
excuse me.
I said it sounds more convincing coming from you.
Well,
the guy's bio. Yeah. So, let him talk.
He, I look at him as possibly, an elder who has actually come back down to the strands of consciousness to be a witness, you know, to his experience or experience in it that he could take. But, you know, it's like stopping off in this neck of the galaxy. In order for him to experience this reality, what he's got to do is slow down and he's got to adapt himself or his consciousness to this form of reality. And, you know, he talks about he's had quite a few recent past lives here. And basically it was through the indigenous people that he was familiar with this experience or this life or this reality. And basically, he shows the different paths of consciousness and of spirituality, how it manifests and unfolds, you know, not only in our galaxy, but also through the universe as a thought. So,
okay.
Do you know anything about his history here in this lifetime?
Well, I believe he was an educated man. I think physics was his background, a little engineering also.
Okay.
But I think from his academic skills, what he did do is that he secluded himself from everybody, and he went into British Columbia, I believe, and he lived there, and he was living off the land for about a year or so.
Huh. Kind of went into the wilderness, huh?
Right, so I think it's then that he got some of his calling, in a sense, or some of his memories, and also his relationship with Thoth that he talks so much about. That Thoth was his one of his teachers, and has actually been following him, but also following his descension, let's say, into this consciousness. And Drumbelow, he talks about his experience not only in with the indigenous tribes, but also experiences in life forms, let's say, within our galaxy. And I believe he spent some time in Sirius, in the star system.
Ah.
And he talks about the people who lived there who were part of, understand the Sirians were a half of our ancestry, in going back to the genetic manipulating that went on years ago, including the Anunnaki. This is a group of people through Zechariah Sitchin's work. But it was the outside source that was part of our genetic line, and that was through the Sirians. And Drumbelow talks about the relationships between energy fields and energy fields in life, you know, dealing with our experiences and the restrictions that we have.
Oh, you mean our physical and mental and emotional restrictions?
Well, yes, but biologically we're different because understanding our biology, we have one heart, where those on Sirius, they're two-hearted beings. And if you want to jump back to some of the Egyptian intermingling, Queen Nefertiti and Akhenaten had the direct genetic bloodlines of the Syrians.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just rambling on here, but it's because of our biology, we have different systems, but our DNA basically is interlinked, and the only difference here is they have more chromosomes than humans do. Instead of having 23 or 46, they have 48, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And as you go up the totem pole, the number of chromosomes that are activated also would represent the conscious level that you're experiencing, but also the physical counterpart also. And the Syrians are physical beings.
Oh, okay.
And their family structure is just like our genetic structure follows a pattern because of the atomic structure that we hold. And in the Sirius star system, you, instead of having two electrons in a neutron atom, you would have four electrons. So even the family structures is geared on 18 instead of, or excuse me, 16 instead of 8, like the I Ching talks about the polarity of energies which are in our system. And normally you have the mother, the father, three sons, and three daughters, where the Syrians basically have double the counterpart.
What do you mean?
Well, it's
two mothers, two fathers.
That's right, but they use duality in the energy fields.
Whatever. I lost, to tell you the truth. But, yeah, that's okay.
It's hard to go into, you know, in these new conversations talking about this. There's a lot of background behind it, but if nothing, Drumbelow had some knowledge of how different energy patterns are played out. Now, at that time, Drumbelow was also re-exposed, I think, to sacred geometries. And in understanding sacred geometries, it was easy for him to, let's say, to decipher the engineering practices of the ancient Egyptians and the Sumerians and the ones before. And it's through understanding relationships, and this is the relationships of sacred geometries with sacred certain patterns that we follow, and these patterns were intertwined with a lot of the ancient structures of buildings and so forth. But he had a keen understanding of not only this from a linear perspective, but also from an emotional perspective. And this is something that we've been talking about for a couple of years now, dealing with the mind and the mind and the heart, where you have the intuitive brain, but you also have the heart or the body itself as an energy source.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, like, what did you? We started off because we were a little late there, but I wondered what had you decided? What did you want to talk about tonight? I wanted to ask you that. I kind of plunged this on the air, but I'm wondering if you had planned anything.
You know, last week we talked about the midpoint.
Yeah.
The midpoint of this day, of this year.
Right.
And I think. What I'm trying to do is not to try to follow the events that are happening, you know, locally and also nationally. You know, it's just kind of a leap in your course.
Now, we're past the midpoint now, so, you know, we can expect anything, I guess. You know, it passed on the 12th, so.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so now, I don't know where we are now. I mean, middle of the sixth day. I have no idea what to expect in the next 6 months.
Well, I think it's not trying to predict what's going to happen in the next 6 months. And, you know, trying to let go, if you'd want to call it that. You know, you take a look at the news. Every day there's always something. And yesterday was a scandal with the CIA and the prison camps and so forth.
But,
you know, everything is coming untied. And, you know, this time, not for saying that that's going to happen, but it is happening. It's crumbling. I mean, it's part of the chaos that must go to start anew or, you know, to put it to rest. And
I think that if Pelosi, between you and I and everybody out there, that I honestly believe that this latest proposal of putting everything out there and laying everything out on the, you know, showing the documents, showing the pictures, showing whatever it was, or at least their copies of the hearings, because the CIA was the only ones that had any copies because they weren't allowed to take notes or they weren't allowed to record the briefing, all right, that she was at. So the only people who have any records of those meetings are the CIA. Now, I believe the CIA has misled Congress for many years on many issues. Okay, and whenever they get caught, you know, and they were caught back in the 70s, they were caught again in the 90s, and now they're caught again. It seems like every 20 years they pull a boner, and, you know, under George Bush, I believe George Bush was telling them to not only mislead
the Congress.
Mislead the Congress, but also to mislead everybody by pretending there was any evidence of weapons of mass destruction or any urgent. I mean, that son of a bitch went on national TV in the State of the Union message and said that there was imminent danger, okay, of a nuclear attack. And
when there wasn't any danger at all.
There was none at all. And everybody and all of the inspectors and all the people around the world knew. All right. But they lied, and they lied to the Congress, they lied to us. And, you know, I think the son of a bitch should be shot. You know, personally, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, all the George Bush, and all the sons of bitches that were involved.
They were criminals.
All criminal, and just bring them up, firing squad,
treason,
and shoot them all. You know,
what good would that do?
Oh, it'd make me feel good, George. I would feel good. It would be a great day for all America and all the world. Yeah, you know, to see these criminal traitors bastards, you know, brought to justice and shot and murdered like they murdered the millions of those other people that they murdered, okay, because of that war, all right. So you know, it would be a wonderful thing, all right, and justice on earth would be truly served, you know, by doing that. That's my feeling.
Well.
I got my feeling is to see these guys quartered, man. I just want to see them dead.
I'd like to see them held responsible for the way they misled the country.
Yeah, and all their fortunes
and
all their money.
Leo, be quiet. Let someone else speak. I would like to see justice be done and have it be a message to anybody that follows them that there's no such thing as absolute power because it does corrupt.
And no one's above the law.
Let's go to absolute power by looking at the blue star that the indigenous people are talking about, the purifier, who's coming to purify. And in order for it to purify, it's got to expose it for what it is. And this is what the purifier is.
Yeah, sure. It makes sense.
So the legend goes, even with the twins, who actually herald the purifier and gives warning that the purifier is coming. So what's happening right now is that everything is being exposed for what it is. And I'm not taking sides who is right or who is wrong in all the shenanigans that's coming out of Washington, other than I'm astonished that it is coming out and how it's coming out. And like I said, without taking sides on it, there's some rattling that's going on, but it's also the whole system is crumbling apart. And, you know, in looking at a time frame, you know, we only got 6 more months left of this year before, you know, the total collapse will be in. And when I say total collapse, I'm talking about the deconstruction or the reconstruction will begin, but that's not going to happen until the fifth night comes in.
No fifth night. You mean sixth night.
Sixth night, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm astonished by just watching the leaves fall right now because they're falling fast and furious. And, you know, we haven't even hit the fall season yet. So, you know, instead of predicting, well, this is going to come out or this is going to come out, hey, I'm just sitting back and just watching as it falls and not, like I said, taking sides on it because you know, who am I to say that this is wrong or right other than the purifying element of this is that it's exposed, it's coming out, and it's going to be changed.
I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for it. I have no idea what it'll change.
Well, you're waiting and seeing it in motion. You're seeing a change. Seeing just the exposure of this is changing it. A lot of people see the shenanigans for what they are now because their rose-colored glasses have been coming off, and they're seeing it for what it is. And some are going along with it, and some are dealing with it, you know, as they seem right. And, you know, this goes into the morals and the ethics that we live, which has been a helter-skelter in the last couple of years. This is what's been thrown in front of us. And this is part of the purifying effect that in order for us to clean ourselves, you know, we have to look at, first of all, dead in the eye and deal with it. Then either keep it or throw it away.
Well, I think what we're going to see, I personally, because this is where I've become, I'm getting to this point now, but I think this is what's going to happen, is that you're going to have two cultures. You're going to have the culture of truth and the culture of you know, false. And
you're going to have that, Leo.
What's that?
You're always going to have that.
No, but you're going to have that now more than ever because what's going to happen is people are going to be much more polarized. And
right. Yeah.
They're going to be more polarized because there are people who will cling to their religions and cling to their presidents and cling to their governments and cling to their everything, but clinging to themselves and their own intuition and knowing what's right and what's wrong. And there are those who will stand up and say, this is absolutely wrong. Under no circumstances will I tolerate this. There is nothing in our society, in this society, or the society I want to live in, okay, that will allow me to ever allow people like George Bush or Dick Cheney or any of these kind of ass policies or torture or war or murder or mayhem or anything will not be allowed in my society, you know. And that's what's going to happen. And if we're going to elevate or ascend to a fourth or fifth dimensional existence, then we can't bear these kind of things to follow us, right? And that have brought us down all these many, many 13,000 years of polarity consciousness. But
Leo, what Drumbelow is saying that you have to understand that this is part of that delusional reality that that polarity brings. So instead of pinning one against the other, understand them for both of what they are. They're just as strong and as powerful, right and wrong, left or right, from one another. And the point is to not take sides with that.
Well, they can have that.
That rise above it.
They can have it, but they're not going to come. They're not going to give it to me. All right, I'm not taking it. I don't want that other side. I don't want anything to do with that other side. And, you know, whatever it takes, to get rid of that other side is what we need to do. All right.
On the same standpoint, look at the mind and look at the brain, how it's programmed, how we live through that, instead of touching base with the other part of us, which is the emotional body. Instead of part of understanding Drumblow is talking about that we are beings that are not closed off from reality or from the world, that we are in contact with reality through our bodies. And the body is just another vehicle that the spirit uses not only to communicate but also to move. So what's happened in a closed mind or a closed reality, we have been locked into this cycle for the last 15,000 years. And, you know, even with karma and reincarnation, these are things that are the past. We don't need them no more because we don't need go over and over and over something that we already know.
Yeah, I hear you. As far as I'm concerned, still, you know, there has to be, I don't know, maybe if I become non-human, all right, and just a wandering, happy-go-lucky spirit, all right, that loves all things and all human and every, you know, the universe, all right, that's wonderful. But the fact that I got to be here in this third-dimensional reality, knowing what I know, seeing what I see, and trusting my intuition above all else, all right, I say that no way in hell do I want these kind of people around me, George. I don't want these mass murderers around me. I don't want them in my planet. I don't want them around my... I don't want them anywhere. I don't want chemtrails, and I don't want the people who put chemtrails in the skies. I don't want evil governments and murderous governments, and I don't want that, all right? I want just truth, peace, love, happiness, whatever those may be.
Nice.
Okay.
You have nice, that choice.
There's nice, decent people out there. You know, they're not all murdering, killing bastards. You know what I mean? And you know, and there's a lot of good people. In fact, most people are probably good people. The fact is that you have these small percentage of people that have controlled our economic systems and have controlled our militaries and control, you know, these things, and they're in a position of, you know, unfortunately embracing evil, you know, because of the powers that be, you know, that, and
because of greed.
And greed and power. And, you know, the only thing that's keeping us alive on this earth is the goodness of other people, you know,
not really. No, it has nothing to do with the goodness of other people.
Yeah,
because they have, right?
People didn't respect somewhat a law or some or other people. Right, we'd be cannibalizing everybody.
It has nothing to do with respect or, you know, trying to judge a person from a moral standpoint of view because they'll laugh at it. Look,
well, they can laugh all they want, George, but you know what? I don't laugh at a guy who's straight, and I don't laugh at a guy at an honest dealer. I don't laugh at somebody who stands up for somebody else, you know. And I don't laugh at those people. In fact, I honor them. All right. I don't laugh at anybody who tries to make a moral statement as long as they're standing on firm ground themselves. All right. But it's when you have these half-assed preachers. All right. That are doing meth and getting rubbed like gay masseuses. All right. These are the kind of guys that, you know, these are the kind of people that are in those areas of power. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're about as hypocritical as can be, and they have no moral stance whatsoever to stand on other than their own hypocrisy. So it's like, I don't need this kind of people. I don't need these kind of religions. I don't need this kind of government. I don't need any of this stuff, okay? And, you know, I don't want it when I leave here. I don't want it.
I don't want it while I'm here.
I don't want it while I'm here, but I'm kind of stuck with it. But if I'm going someplace, it better be better than here, or else I might as well stay.
Well, why can't you both live together and do your own thing and not interfere with one another?
You sound like Rodney King. Why don't we all get along? What? No. Yeah. Why don't we just all go? Hey, stop me over the head, LAPD. Don't beat me up. No.
Well, would this world be a better world without these people or with these people? These people that you talk about different than you.
It would be much better without those kind of people.
Yeah?
Why not? Wouldn't the world be better off without a Dick Cheney and George Bush? Oh, man.
Yeah,
it would be a wonderful place without
maybe
people.
We need somebody like that to keep us on our toes and remind us of what we shouldn't be like.
Oh, right. So 6 or 8 or 10 million people have to die because of a couple of sons of bitches, all right, to teach us all a lesson? I can do that. I think they can learn the lesson without slaughtering.
Yeah, but some people need a lesson to learn, Leo. Think about that.
What?
They have the right to experience that, experience the things that you don't want to experience, or you would rather not experience.
You think people really want to have that experience, George, of being
Yes.
They do?
Yes. Otherwise,
they want to concentration camps and have their balls cut off and have their heads cut off? I don't think I want to.
Leo, let's be practical here.
No,
let's be practical. Everybody, I mean... We have rights that, you know, we can enjoy life to our heart's desire, but we don't have the right to infringe on other people. But if we do infringe on other people...
good job at it, right?
Then
I'm
it's
pushing on that, you, so, you know, get out of my way. You know?
Well,
is that, you know, I don't know. I have a problem with it, and, you know... Serious problem with people infringing on me.
Right? And I think, you know.
So there are people that infringe on other people, right?
You have to speak out when there's injustice, and you have to give a helping hand when someone else needs it.
When you can, yeah.
When you can, that's important.
You have to.
You can't.
Whose judges are you maintaining?
As a conscionable person, you know, as a person of conscience. Simply that. It doesn't matter.
You can't stay home in the United States in your nice house and your kids go off to school or your kids go to college and you go and plant your garden and think everything's wonderful and have your tax money support bombing raids in Pakistan and Afghanistan that kills thousands of civilians. Let me finish.
Right.
You can't sit in your nice house and go to your nice school and drive your nice car and be silent about embargoes that cause thousands of people to starve to
caused
death.
Caused by your country.
Caused by our country and not say anything.
Or your country's allies. And it's like, you know, what are they doing?
By saying something, what are you doing?
Speaking out against it.
Yeah.
Okay.
People that
one
and say that you don't like it. And where you stand.
People talk all the time about the Holocaust that happened to the Jews in Germany, but very few people talk about the Holocaust that are happening today. They don't talk about the Holocaust, the walled concentration camp that the Palestinian people live in that starved to death.
Or the 500,000 children that were killed in Iraq prior to our invasion of Iraq. Okay, they were starved to death through our embargoes and bombed to death by our bombs prior to our invasion of Iraq. All right, not to mention, the United States is heavily involved in the Sudan. It's involved in Somalia. It's involved in the Congo. It's involved everywhere where there's massive genocide. You know, we're not on the right side on these things. Okay. You got a lot of private contractors. You got a lot of CIA and all these other.
What can you do about this?
Speak out. You got to speak out against it.
Speak out and do what?
To let people know what's happening.
And then what?
So that the more people that know and are against it, the more pressure you can put on the government to stop it.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, they're going to get tossed out.
Well,
yeah, that's what it is, George. As far as
there are more of us than there are people in Congress, you know. Just that world that so many Americans have been brainwashed. to believe that they're on the right side, that we live in the greatest country in the world and the most humanitarian country. That just simply isn't true, George.
And the other thing is that, you know, people are not only brainwashed to believe this stuff, but
history's been rewritten.
Exactly, and it continually
is called revisionism.
And, you know, this is what patriot movements and everybody else are trying to bring out.
People are trying
and
to
liberals
bring
and
pressure
conservatives
on
and everyone. And that they're getting screwed over. And, you know, they're getting screwed over. And, you know, they're tired of it, and they don't want it anymore, and they want to take back their government if they can. If not, then they'll start a new government.
Well, do you still pay your taxes?
Right, as Americans, to do that under the Constitution.
Under the Constitution, we have those.
We have that right to break up our government and start a new one.
Okay.
Under the Constitution. So, you know, and 23 or 24 states right now have already applied for secession. All right, they've already filed papers and said they want to get break away from the United States.
You never hear about that on the mainstream.
No, you don't hear that. Right.
No, I have, because in the last week or so forth, newsmen, Anchorman have hit upon that. You know, the savagery of the states. We've talked about this in the past, understanding that, you know, the Civil War was fought because of the sensations from the United States. States have power. In fact, in New York State, we follow the Constitution, but it's the New York Constitution first and the U.S. Constitution second.
Oh, really?
And the city of New York Constitution third. Bloomberg keeps rewriting it so he can stay in office.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it's the set of laws that you go by. But we go by the state constitution before we do the federal constitution,
right?
Because it's the states that hold the power, and that's the fight right now with the federal imposing upon the states' rights. And I think there was a gun law, or the there was a gun challenge that was put on that.
Montana.
Yeah, because of firearms, I believe, manufactured within a state, it doesn't need the approval of the federal government.
So I read that on the show a couple of weeks ago, and they're absolutely right. They're trying to bypass those gun laws in Montana by doing that. And they can do that in every state.
Well, they do that because of the commerce between states out of state boundaries.
Right.
And it is an original right that the states held and have, but what they've done over the years is turned it back over to the federal government instead of actually policing their own state.
Right. Yeah, no, I understand, George. I'm just, we kind of like went away from what we were talking about, but I was thinking that if now, in the next 6 months, these things are revealed and everything starts coming, into focus, I think the other thing that we have to think about is in this clearing. Drunvalo said that there were 250,000 different species in the universe that were waiting for us to see them. All right.
Yes.
And know that they're there, and yet
they're not against us.
Then supposedly they're not against us in a way. He says that 99% are.
Positive.
Are positive, right, in the universe. And he says that we are, we should be
shortly. Shouldn't be afraid.
Yeah, and we should be seeing them soon.
I think, but we, first of all, we have to get under control some of this technology that we have and understand that, we don't have to be crazy and have this stuff at the same time. And we're crazy people down here. We're killing people left and right for the sake of what side of the street they're born on. Right. And that's
getting worse, and it's getting worse.
Well, if nothing, it's coming to
it's getting more and more ethnically divided, and you're seeing more and more ethnic cleansings, all right, if you will, around the world, and that's a frightening thing. I mean, you know, they base everything on ethnics,
ethnicity.
Yes, thank you. Then they know that you know they got a problem. You know, all of a sudden every white guy is a racist. Every black guy is a is stupid, and every this color is aggressive, and that color is do this, and that color is that, and that religion, and so on. So the minute you start being able to divide somebody or label somebody, then you immediately are able to cleanse that person, or cast hate on them, or bring some kind of aspersion toward them.
Mostly it's about greed, because they want to take over their land, they want the diamonds, they want the gold, they want their labor, or their slaves,
so it's like
instead of nitpicking and looking at the different changes, you know, just follow the things that are happening right now. And I bring out this challenge right now that the statehood has had against the federal government. It's the restrictions that the federal government have on the people and us that are holding us back, or holding our rights back. And I think that is being challenged by the states' rights and what the citizenry has a right to do. And at this point, it has to do with our judicial system that has got to change. And that is part of the change that's going through because of the money situation. And the power of the people has got to come back to the people. And it's through this
as a people, we've allowed it to slip away.
Right.
Yes, we have. But
we really have. We've preferred to not challenge or look at the difficult things. And
well, we have no
to stand up.
We can't do anything about now that it's being exposed for what it is, and it's become critical in a sense where everything is built upon this house of cards, and this house of cards is all falling down. It's taking everything down. So right now it's bits and pieces that are coming apart. And the problem right now with our judicial laws is that everything is a contract, and we have been locked into this contractual agreement with life, and everything that we have is geared around that, including monies, our wealth, our livelihood. When it comes to working, you know, that's another thing that is really come up the last week or so forth, you know, closing down of all these Chrysler Dodge dealerships, and General Motors is closing down plants.
It's awful for people. There are going to be so many people without work.
Yeah, the Chrysler ones, I think that over 100,000 jobs are being lost in just about because of the dealerships.
You know, think about it, all the salesmen, all the administrative people,
all the
mechanics, the parts managers, and that affects other businesses that sell parts.
Not only that, but the real estate, you know, these are all on big commercial real estate lots.
Right.
There's going to be huge
impacts in communities.
Yeah, I mean, because of the taxes that they're paying, people are paying big taxes on those big lots.
Yeah.
All right, and so those businesses go out of business. Those towns will be affected in a big way.
We've been following this for a couple of years now, folks. And instead of projecting what was going to happen, this is what's happened. I think if nothing else, this is just showing that it's exposing itself for what it is. And if nothing else, it's a big factor in part of this collapse of this chaos that we're going through.
Yeah, it's like, would you buy a General Motors or a Chrysler car
right now
from a local dealer, knowing that that dealer won't be in business as of June 1st?
Yeah, a couple months away.
All right, yeah. I think so.
To be truthful, yes. I can go to that other dealer and get what I want. There's no personal things involved with this or personal feelings. I feel bad for the guy, but, you know, I put money out and I want to buy something. I'll go to where it is. So, you know.
I got somebody on the line here, George. Let's see who's calling. Good evening, 310. Hello?
Good evening, caller.
Are you with us? 310-259, are you with us? No, I guess not.
Well, you know, I just hope that, you know, the government is stepping in and helping out with some of this, but there's only so much that they could do. And the problem is, you know, it's like you receive something from the state, you're bound to that. Is that, you know, you don't get nothing for nothing. There's always strings attached.
Oh,
and right now, I'm watching how the strings are attaching to some of these things that are part of our lives, including, you know, the medical health and so forth. That's another thing that, you know, is really kind of come to the surface. That will be.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? What do you mean exactly, George?
Well,
it's
not only the medical profession, but it's also the pharmaceutical industry too.
Uh-huh.
And so much is geared on producing, but also holding on to your clientele. And you know, there comes a point where you know, I'm not one for socialized medicine. But you take a look at some of the prices that some of these physicians get for their services, and it's astronomical.
Sure.
I would say that, you know, it's like a lot of this has to do with this new technology that we've incorporated into, you know, our system here. It's very expensive. And, in fact, the human aspect of this is secondary. The main features are basically the artificial intelligence of the machines that we use, because we rely so much. But, you know, there's got to be a meeting of the minds, because people can't afford it, and the state can't afford to pay the bill when the people can.
That's why the whole system is falling apart. It has to fall completely apart so it can be rebuilt and be more sensible.
Well, I think they're rebuilding it, but. You know, what
Obama just rejected single payer, so it's like you know, the whole thing's a farce. Anthony, we've got you on the line. Can you hear us?
Yes, Leo, I can hear you. Hey, everybody, I'm just listening in, getting, you know, just finishing the workout.
Oh boy, he's so physically fit.
There's another person who called earlier, 310-259. You want to, are you with us?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, they're on, but they, I don't know.
Maybe they're just listening.
Yeah. So he's calling from California. And, but anyway, how you doing there, Anthony? How you been?
Great. I'm sweaty and hot, and the weather's wonderful here in Florida. And I just tuned in when you were talking about everything's falling apart and everything's a farce, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, no, we were talking about how the economy is falling apart, how everything on that end is falling apart, but it's supposed to fall apart, according to these prophecies. And
exactly.
And
it's dragging down everything it's attached to, all the strings that are attached.
What I meant about a farce is that, yes, they were created out of, like Lyle said, out of a house of cards. I mean, they really are. And it's starting to expose. It's starting to fall. We're starting to see what this is all about. And we're looking forward to it.
I think what there is, we've seen a little like blip in the stock market where it's done a little bit better. Where it's done better. However, I personally think that everything has to collapse completely, and it has to. Something different has to happen.
Yeah, whatever
they
is
keep,
good
they,
will stay, and whatever is bad will go. You
they
know,
keep trying to rebuild the same thing, and I don't think it's going to work.
I agree with you. I don't think so either. And that's not the approach we should take. And I think I think if we just let it go, it will show itself for whatever course that we could take.
Yeah, we're running out of time. I just want to let people know that they can dial in and save now. It's we stopped streaming. But for those of you, Anthony and whoever else is on the line, we'll continue. So,
this hour goes so damn quick, you know? It just flies by.
It really does. It's amazing. We started talking, and we just kind of zoom along, and that's it.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
Yeah, you know, like when you're building anything, you know, right now everything, the foundation is shaky, and it's like on quicksand, so we have to establish, I think, like a foundation of something of with a universal principle of, you know, either unity or trust or integrity. You know, what do you think, George? Integrity is what everything was lacking, and that's why it fell apart. So if, maybe if we establish a foundation of integrity, we'll be able to rebuild something of significance.
I would agree with you 100%,
yeah.
Anthony,
yeah.
Because the financial system was not based on integrity or honesty. It was based on deception. Yeah.
Exactly. So it had to come crumbling down because the foundation was so shaky and, you know, it was, you know, give me a break.
Well,
it could not stand.
Instead of kicking it while it's going down, just let it fall and then pick it up once it falls. Don't take it personally. Just let it fall and it'll get up in its own time.
You're probably right.
Yep.
Yes, George. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And I'm not really kicking it. I'm just kind of, you know, witnessing it and learning as we go along because you've opened my eyes, George, and I appreciate it.
Well, why, thank you. But, you know, it's attaching or putting energy to these not only thought forms but also these pathways. And my question is it worth it? I mean, is it worth putting energy into it? And I'm saying it may be a worthy cause, but understand, you know, do you need another rabbit hole to incorporate in your life, or you could just let it go and concentrate on other things that are more important and more beneficial. When I say beneficial, it gives me more joy instead of heartache.
George, I have a question.
I didn't do it. Go ahead.
You know, during the rebuilding process.
Yes.
How can we help reestablish is there going to be a foundation, and what is the foundation going to be based on, and how can we help to build it?
I think
rebuild.
The foundation is built on human nature.
The foundation is supposed to be the consciousness, our consciousness. It's not really going to have a physical our third dimensional reality to it any longer. It's going to be our own individual consciences that will have elevated to a level of unity conscious, because you, Anthony, and George, and myself, and Lila, and anyone who's listening, or anybody, is will reach that level, as you know, in the next 6 to 8 months or a year. Will have reached a certain level of unity consciousness. That's what all of these prophecies are stating. That's what all of everything is stating, that by the year 2011, we will be on ascension row. Actually, we'll be right there, right in the. We'll have done it by I think it's October 28th, 2011.
I don't think it's going to come at the end of the rainbow. I think it's in the journey to the rainbow that you're going to experience it.
The end of, or the height or the end of that rainbow, when we will see it, when everyone will see it, is supposed to be 2012. All right? So, October 28th, 2012. And again, on December 31st, January 28th, 2011, and again on, I believe, January 1st, 2012, or something to that effect.
What's going to happen?
That's when the end of time and space happens.
As we know it.
As we know it, right. that's when it's all supposed to change.
It's not going to happen then, Leo. It's going to happen now before we get there.
It's happening, but we're, I mean, that's when it's supposed. That's when the change is supposed to be totally
complete.
Yeah, complete. Thank
complete.
You.
Complete. Yeah.
So. I don't particularly see it happening quite yet, completely, but I'm hoping that by the end of the year, possibly the middle of next year, it will be.
But I think
we'll see
the way I see it, Leo, is of course you're not gonna. It's more like growing older. You really don't notice it, but it happens. And then one day you look in the mirror and you say, "Oh my God, I really am older."
Guys, I don't look 20 anymore. Yeah?
But it happens, and you don't really feel it happening. You know what I mean? It's just I would guess that's the way it would be, and for all of us. And if I think it's going to be seamless.
I think we're going to notice.
Hey, I agree with you, Lila.
What?
It's going to be seamless.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a seamless event that's been planned like all of things that have happened to man. I mean, we're really a wonderful machine. We live on a wonderful planet in a universe that everything has balance in the world that I've experienced. There's for every, you know, action, there's a reaction. For every A, there's a B, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's going to be... It's beautifully planned, and it will happen the way it's supposed to. And I'm not worried about it.
You know what? I think I've gone through this before.
I agree with Lila. Are y'all there? I had to mute for a second.
I agree.
It's just that, you know what it reminds me of, Lila?
What?
Right now, we're in a new era with the new presidency and all that good stuff.
Yep.
And this time last year, we were all in limbo, and nobody really knew, you know, what was going to go on. But now the reality is what it is, and our relationship with our society and with our, you know, with ourselves is just slightly different now that we have that different relationship with our, I guess, political structure.
Right.
So, you know, so yeah, it's a seamless process, but at the same time, the relationships and the events are different, and our consciousness has changed as a result.
Right.
You're right.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah.
And I'm...
I think we've struck a unity consciousness chord
here. Yeah, I think we've struck agreement, and I think that's good. And I'm going to sign off. If you guys want to talk some more, go right ahead. And I have to take my cat out of this room. He's climbing all over everything.
We won't have a room on.
We won't have a place to talk. We have a wild new cat.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, sounds like fun.
Did you choose the cat, or did the cat choose you?
She chose the cat.
No, the cat kind of didn't have a home, and I couldn't turn it into a shelter. So.
But it's going to one tomorrow. I think we've made a final choice.
No, she's not going. I couldn't part with her. She's.
Where did the cat appear, Lila?
Pardon me?
Where did you first make eye contact with the cat?
When I was at an apartment, and I saw the cat sitting on a bed, just looking at me in the most, you must take me home.
Oh. Was that a... Now, you know your life is never going to be the same, and, you know, event is a seamless transition from life before and life after cat.
Got that right.
No, there isn't a seamless transition. In fact, it's been a torturous one, quite frankly.
This cat is full of energy. She's beautiful, just beautiful to look at. But, boy, she's changed our lives, I'll tell you.
The dog doesn't like her much either.
No, the dog's been very good. She's not very nice to the dog, though. But you know how animals are. They own you.
Well, before you go, Maria says hello.
Oh.
Oh.
I hope she's feeling okay.
Oh, she's feeling fine.
Oh, great. Tell her that we'll talk to her very shortly. We'll soon. We'll call her. She's going to be at her home, or?
Yes.
Home now? Oh, great.
Well, she asked me to pass that on for you, for both you folks.
Right.
And she thinks of you often.
Tell her we send our love.
Yeah,
I
will. We'll be trying to, I'll try to call her tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Or tomorrow, how she's doing. Yeah, but say hi to her. And, Andy, you remember Maria, right?
Maria Fix, Algeria?
Yes.
Absolutely. Of course.
She's back in Long Island there. George is visiting her.
Yes.
Oh.
She talks of you, Anthony.
Oh, I wish I could talk with her, but I do feel her, and I appreciate her because she's definitely a very clear visionary when it comes down to the psychic realm.
She knows.
You know, she absolutely, yes, go ahead. Jeff, you know, speaking of psychic realm, you know who I'm going to meet on Sunday? George, Leo?
Yes.
I'm going to meet a lady named Phyllis Schlemmer.
Yeah.
She's coming here to, the Gulf Breeze, Florida, where I live, to talk to us. And basically, she wrote this book called The Only Planet of Choice. And did you know that Gene Roddenberry, he researched the background material for a Star Trek series with the international group using a medium, and that medium was Phyllis Schlemmer. The group, it was comprised of a bunch of scientists and doctors and teachers and ambassadors and athletes and filmmakers. And Gene Roddenberry was that filmmaker from the United States. And these people were from all over the world. And Phyllis was the one who, she channels this group of people called the Nine. And I'm just learning about all this stuff. The Nine are a group, they're a group of wise universal beings of some sort. And that's when Roddenberry, asked her where the Nine came from, and she said that it was from the zone you call cold in deep space, and that's also where Deep Space Nine came from. But anyway, I'm gonna be meeting her on Sunday.
Great. You're going to be doing a show with her.
I haven't asked her that, but that would be nice. Booked up until September. You know that, but yes, do a show with her.
Great.
Yeah, she could be on October 10th with us.
Oh, what's going on? You know what October 10th is?
Yeah, October or August? August 10th.
Yeah. Oh, did you say August or October?
I think August. You said August 10th or something?
Oh, August. Yeah, August 10th. Yeah, October is my birthday. That's why I was like, woo, October 10th.
She could be on with us if you need time.
Oh, you know, that's a good idea. That would be a great conversation.
Yeah,
with George
yeah.
and Phyllis Schlemmer.
You know, I've been with this new Star Trek. It reminds me of some of the technology that we have nowadays, and it's like doctors and nurses in a hospital. They use like a BlackBerry in their hand, like a tri-recorder that they use in Star Trek. And a lot of that advanced science fiction stuff, you know, we have nowadays, and we take it for granted. We take it for granted, you know, some of these
prototypes back then, yeah, the prototypes were in the Star Trek and sci-fi movies. Yeah.
You know, that's so true, and I mean, I guess we really can't downplay the significance of her mediumship. She has really, truly influenced our culture on a grand scale. So I didn't even know about her until a couple of days ago when they told me that she was coming to meet us. So it's going to be a go ahead.
Her name is Phyllis what?
Schlemmer.
Schlemmer.
Phyllis Schlemmer. Yeah, The Only Planet of Choice is the book that she wrote, like back in 1993 or something. But it's starting to gain more and more significance because of course, you know, the movie's out now. But you know, it's, you know, Gene Roddenberry's, it's always been known where he got the information from, but it was more esoteric. You know, a lot of people just didn't really know. But I think it's more acceptable nowadays, so it's coming out of the closet, so to speak.
Oh, it's exciting. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It is.
You could talk about this, and everybody listens to it, not just, small pools of people or people with open minds. You know, everybody's curious.
I'm looking forward to looking this lady up in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Phyllis Schlemmer.
Yeah, just go to the Only Planet of Choice. I'm not a plugger, but I just wanted to let you know I'm going to actually meet her, and it's, you know, because I'm meeting her, you know, we're all connected on a very, on, we're entangled, actually.
Oh,
so,
great.
You know.
Great. Well, look, I'm on some borrowed time here, so I'm going to say adieu for the evening, my friends.
All right, George. And Anthony, it was good that you called in. Thank you.
Yeah.
And, oh, thank you.
And, thanks, everybody, for listening. And 310, I don't know, you didn't say anything, but I hope you had a good show. You enjoyed yourself tonight, too. So, thanks, guys, and we'll talk to you next week.
Happy
yes, sir.
Week, my friend.
All right.
Peace. Bye.